When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To the best 2 hours in sports radio.
How are the two best hosts on Grid Radio?
Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside.
Mustache glasses and a bacon, egg, and cheese. You know what? I just keep moving.
But here.
Kevin Walsh.
No, it's not a bad take. You're in outer space right now.
And the dream team of callers.
Right. I hope you guys checked the tape right. That was the 5-0 Vegas.
Bring it.
Astros, Rangers, Astros over.
Smoke.
Check
all
the
smoke.
Tape.
Yep. Easy, too. That was easy. It feels good.
It was, wasn't it? Man.
To listen to you guys also with all that great information you gave out on players' props. So it's going to be a fun night tonight.
I just honestly became a huge Sports Grid fan and over the last year, and I found you in K-Dub's show, man, and I have been addicted.
And let me give a shout-out to my man, JP, holding it down behind the scenes.
There it is.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159.
We are live on a Tuesday afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie and Kevin. This is Moneyline and a lot of topics, and none better than, you know, Kevin. It's coming here, right? I mean, did you get any views yet? Did you get any looks? Did you hear from any coaches of what the 8 or 9 teams that reported with rookies in training camp? Did we get any word that, you know, Bijan Robinson might be the best player we've ever seen so far in NFL history? It's football season, people. Kevin, it's football season right now.
Yeah, I mean, ridiculous. It's not.
Oh, come on.
It's the same as always. You tell me. I mean, you tell me all the big differences you've seen with this being training camp for rookies today.
They actually have Bijan locked on Rookie of the Year. He's been so good this morning at practice. So there's one thing that you can check in on there to see if he's going to win it. Jahmyr Gibbs, 30-1 price tag, Kevin. Most receiving yards. I know you're digging that from this morning here. As running backs that we like to say aren't worth much on the open market, but apparently running backs coming out of the backfield of being pass catchers, that's something we could buy into.
I mean, that didn't even work out for Austin Ekeler, actually. So it didn't even really make all the difference there. It's just how it goes, man. It's just how it goes.
Now, give me this one reason, because we're going to hit a lot of hot topics today. Major League Baseball cards looking fresh for us here. NBA Summer League now officially over as we wait towards the final days of, I guess, free agency / the trade market. Hold on now. Let's catch it. Let me get ahead of myself real quickly here. You know my guy, Dove Kleiman. I mean, he's hitting on my timeline left and right now all of a sudden, now that we became friends. How are we already having a Netflix docuseries picked up for season 2? How's that even happen on the quarterbacks?
I mean,
probably. That big a deal?
Yeah.
Come on now.
What do you
no,
mean?
It's not.
What?
Ugh, what? Don't make me hate this. Come on, once is enough.
What is wrong with you?
Once is enough.
What is wrong with you? I don't. What are you talking about? They put out.
We didn't even let it run its course yet.
Donnie,
what, people binged it one night and said, I need another season next year?
Yes, that's literally how Netflix works. What is wrong with you?
No, I'm not.
And you're over here pretending today's Christmas and you're mad about football content. I mean, honestly,
yes.
Are you insane?
No, this is behind the scenes what's taking place a year ago. You tell me Mahomes, like we're following Mahomes. I already know what happened, Kevin. I'm following Kirk. I know how your season ended. Marcus Mariota, you're not even on the Falcons anymore.
What do you want? So do you want behind the scenes footage, like live on a second screen in the middle of the game itself? I mean,
yes. I need this done, Kev. I need this done like it's Hard Knocks. Like maybe a week ago it just happened.
Hard Knocks stuff isn't even up to date.
It's like a couple days. I know Mahomes won the Super Bowl. What am I getting out of this Netflix thing? How rich he is?
No, I mean it's about, I mean, at the end of the day, then don't watch it. But you acting confused as to how this already got renewed is ridiculous.
I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand. This is why Netflix is losing tons of money right now.
It's really not.
Because of decisions like this.
One of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard from you. As you sit here on this of all days, pretending, oh, it is so exciting, it's Christmas, football, football, football.
Yes.
You're getting a completely unique piece of football content. And you are angry that it got renewed immediately because that's exactly how these things go?
You know what I'm actually watching right now, Kevin, on one of my TVs? NFL Network. They're showing a Chiefs game replay from like the early 1990s. Phenomenal stuff. Much better than me watching Mahomes last year already knowing he won the Super Bowl. This is the Seattle Seahawks in the AFC versus the Kansas City Chiefs right now. Doesn't get any better than this. This is the content that we want.
Sounds like something that you actually aren't even watching. Didn't you watch Quarterback?
I watched the first half of the first episode, and now I won't be back. How about that?
I mean, again, like, sure. But this isn't, you're not right about this. Like, you don't have to like it, but nothing you're, like, what is your take, Donnie? Because you love to do this thing where you're like, oh, come on, nobody wants this, nobody's watching this.
Even nobody wants it.
You clearly are aware that that's not true based on it now already catching on for another season.
I mean, who's going to be on it next year? I mean, who is it? Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, they probably, Donnie, also needed to figure that out. Like, that's a whole other thing, another logistical thing that you accidentally just walked into to prove how ridiculous you are. They need to figure out, Donnie, if they're going to run it back before this season starts, most likely.
Yeah, putting the cart before the horse right now on this Netflix docuseries, for me anyway. People like Mahomes, sure. Do they actually like Kirk Cousins? And Marcus Mariota?
That's the point. Nobody likes the Jets. Yet they got Hard Knocks. This is awful point after awful point. I mean, my goodness.
This is bad. Like, it completely hijacked our first segment here by it already getting renewed and I didn't get a chance to actually watch it all the way through. So therefore leads me, Kevin, to, I'm not watching it.
Yeah, tremendous.
Exactly. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back here on a Tuesday afternoon. Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Moneyline, Donnie and Kevin. Phone lines, as usual, open all show long. 844-843-6879. Madden, is it out yet, Kevin? The game?
No.
Now, let me go back
to
this.
That's why the 99s are going one by one. Because then everyone would
When is it due out?
Probably a month or so, maybe a touch less.
By the way, when you were a little, I don't even know if you were even a little tyke at this point. I'm talking like mid-1990s. Let's go 1994, 1995. Madden. Mm-hmm. Kevin, did you know like this game came out in like December every year? Can you imagine that? Like, think about that. That's amazing, isn't it? Like, just in time for Christmas?
But was that the idea? Like, it doesn't need to be out sooner than that?
Yeah, like that's, it would come out like late fall. Like we're usually right around almost like Thanksgiving, December time is what I remember when I was a kid in the 1990s. Then obviously getting older there, it was usually like a late later August, but you had to buy the physical game. And I'll tell you this, even when I was working, and I used to work a later shift, like I would get off work for like, I don't know, it's been like two or three summers, and go pick it up at midnight, which was usually like the official launch, and the place would be packed, all get out, GameStop, wherever you were buying it at, absolutely packed at midnight. And you felt like, even though you would wake up in the morning at 9 a.m. or whatever, like you had to get it at midnight, rip off a couple like teams, see the field, and then you go to bed, and then you obviously continue to play it the next day and all the way throughout. But man, Madden coming out used to be a monster deal. But I assume now, does anybody buy, you don't buy a physical, because I haven't had a PlayStation in a long time. Probably now, when's the last time I played that? Maybe 2012, 2013. Do you just get it digitally now?
It, most people, yeah, because a lot of people also like to pre-order it, so you kind of do the early pre-order situation.
Downloads.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the physical copies are just not as important, but it comes out. Yeah, I looked it up August 18th, so like it's still a really big deal, though. It's all about it's not a big deal anymore. It's just people don't have to wait online at GameStop for it.
Now, you know what the favorite part of Madden for me was? I used to live. This is like, let's just say 2002 to like 2004, only about maybe a mile and a half or two away from where I used to work is where I used to live. I had a little condo, and I would leave work, Kevin, and go home and play Madden, like out of nowhere. Because this was a job, a lot of people worked in the company, but it wasn't like you punched in, you punched out. Well, technically you did. You had to log in when you get in, log in when you get out. But you can take like a lunch break technically whenever you wanted to. But like if I would just get in there and be like, okay, I did 2 hours of work, I'm doing this and that. Like I would bounce, go home and play an online game of Madden and then come back to work. Tremendous stuff. Think about that.
Why couldn't you like that? You couldn't just like spend the time at the office. There was nothing to do. The office was that close to you.
Yeah, like the office was like right around the corner from where I lived. So like, and again, like bored's not the right word. Like you had to work. Like my scheduled shift was 2:30 in the afternoon to 10:30 at night. And again, you'd get in a little bit early or whatever, but you could take again like a lunch break or a dinner break or whatever it would be at that time. But like I would do that, yes. But sometimes I would just leave work and go home. And like, hey, where were you? Oh, dentist or something like that. But I would go home and play Madden like in the middle of the day.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You were pretending to go to dentist appointments so you can go home and play
Madden. But not really. I don't ever think I said dentist. Like, I don't even think I even got like questions sometimes because like you put a couple sales up on the board and you know, where's Donnie? I don't know. He's around here somewhere. Go back up to work and that's what you did.
All right. There you go. I mean, that's crazy.
Or in the middle of the day working on your golf game, Kevin, because we had a driving range within like, I don't know, 400 yards of where I worked. Just roll out of there and hit a bucket of balls and come right back into work. Like, you know what, man? We work on that 8-iron real quick.
Now, in the sales world, is that seen as actually like, no, he's just de-stressing from our
no. Like, there's no. Because, look, I'm going to, and this is the great part about it. Like, we're in the middle of the summer, so we got plenty of time to talk about this stuff. Early 2000s, Kevin. Let me get you, like, my mindset, right? So, graduate college. Didn't want to be a teacher because I didn't want to do math. Now I'm in a field where I'm using analytics and math, but that's besides the point. So I go into finance, which is basically math, you know, selling mortgages and, you know, an in-house client, do whatever you have to do. But like coming out of school, it's like, oh, look at this money I'm making. Like, again, it's not comparable really to today, but it was really good money. And I remember like people say, like, you know what? You could be such a better salesman. You would appreciate this, Kevin. You could be much, much better salesman, Donnie. Like, well, what's the deal here? Like, look, what's my unit number that I have to get to every month? And they'd say, okay, it's X. I go, well, what's the problem with just getting the X? And they go, I don't understand it. Most people in this business are motivated by money. I go, look, if that unit package was 10 or 100, the money I'd give you, if you told me it's 10, I'd get you 10. If you told me it's 100 I had to get to, I'd get you 100. I'm not getting anymore. Then you know what your problem is? You got to get married, have a kid, and have a big mortgage. Then we got you. I go, the money I make right now, I live like a king. And they just shake their heads like I don't even know where he's come from at this point. Like, money doesn't motivate me. Just let me do my job and go home and leave me alone. That was it.
Right.
That was the existence of my 8 years in finance.
Yeah. I mean, what do I want to say? That's interesting is what I'll say. But so you going out and hitting a bucket of balls is mainly because everyone else was worried about making more money. And you're like, look, I'm I'm going to smash my quota. So what's even the problem?
Yes. And that's, see, that's the best part about it is, like, there were some people, very good friends of mine, are like, look, man, like, when you punch in here, like, your only job is to work hard, and then the bell rings, technically, and you go home and you do it again. I'm like, you know, I don't see that. Like, here's me. Like, if I walked in and got, like, two sales, K-Dub, like, right off the bat, I'm done for the day, man. Like, I'm done for the day. Like, that's good enough. If I come in over the weekend, like, hey, Donnie, I got a couple of your files, came in, and I'm like, why am I even here today? Completely opposite of, ooh, let me press it down and see what I can do. I was the opposite.
And if I had to guess, you were great at it. Like, you could have easily been one of the three best guys in your office in terms of sales, or you would have, like, no problem, but you just didn't bother.
Now, hold on. Now, see, most people out there know my story here at the Grid. Like, I value, like, being to work every single day, and sometimes it's not technically right, but, hey, through sickness or health, DRS is going to be here. We had workup budgets. Like, when you're new on the floor, it's very hard to sell right away because, you know, you're just not seasoned enough to, you know all the ins and outs. So they give you a couple free months, and you burn through those, and then it's finally like, okay, man, you got to hit budget this month. You like this one, Kevin. I worked every single day of the first month. I had to hit budget. 7 days a week I worked. I took more phone calls than anybody on the floor where I got, like, questioned, like, I don't understand what you're doing over here. And the lead team leader, they used to call him there of your team, said, hey, look, man, the guy's working. He said he wanted to hit budget. He came in every, Kevin, in the summer, I went through August 1st to August 31st and worked every single day. And I hit my budget by, like, one. I was like, thank goodness. But that's the maniac I am sometimes at times. And I'm saying stuff, what am I killing myself for? After that, you know, I hit budget this month, not the next month. Make sure you hit it the next month. Stay off the radar. That was me. That was my whole young life, man.
And that was it. And you, so, yes. But so does that mean then, like, the only way you were ever going to hit your goal was if you had to, like, press it down intensely? Like, you could, like, so that was another kind of detractor from the whole thing?
Yes, because money didn't, like, I made a decent amount, but it wasn't like, oh, man, I got to double this down or do this or do that. I had no credit card debt. You know, I had my townhouse. I didn't have very many bills, and, you know, everything was fine. So money wasn't the factor. It was just like, hey, let me just keep my job, and that'll be fine. And in a sales environment, that doesn't make sense to, like, 80% of the people. They're like, no, you're here to, like, make money and see how much you can make, not, like, what's the least I can do where it's like, okay, good job. That was me. Like, because they even added, Kevin, like, buckets. Like, hey, if you go over 10% or 20%, you made more. I didn't even care.
How did that then end in you owning your own sandwich shops?
I see that. I mean, been all around the block. And then that as well. I, Kevin, you like this one. We opened up our sandwich shops back in the day. Kevin, I worked three straight months without a single day off when they opened. How do you like that?
Well, right. But you were actually trying with the sandwich shops. You're like, listen.
Well, I had to, yeah. Otherwise, I'd lose my house and all that good stuff here. Yeah, there was no punching the clock and checking out. Like, hey, buddy. I want a ham and cheese. Make it yourself, man. That's not the way to go down. We'll be right back. I promise we'll talk sports tonight.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back out of here, Tuesday afternoon, Moneyline Edition. Get your hot takes in, 844-843-6879. It's Kevin and Donnie here. By the way, open pairings did come out here, Kevin, for the British Open. How about this one? McIlroy, Rahm, and Rose as the headline pairing there for the 23 British Open here. Now, it looks like, because we were trying to, in our mind, say what time they tee off. They give you a couple of them here. I can't find, like, the easy one. Like, you go to, maybe ESPN might have it now. Does ESPN have it?
Yeah, they do. Yep.
They have to have it. Okay.
First one.
So what is the first official tee off
time?
Okay.
Rams and Grace Jordan.
I was trying to find, like, where they actually were going off there. Now, the one thing I didn't take a look. Did you take a look at anything like weather conditions or anything like that? Because I know tomorrow you won't be here on the early line, but we're trying to line up, like, a guest or somebody that can give us, like, that course preview, like, hey, watch out Thursday, Friday, something like that.
Yeah, I haven't. Funny enough, I don't know kind of how that process is going for you guys, but you actually could get someone, like, probably pretty easily over there if there's someone over there. Like, that's actually.
Oh, Rick. Rick?
The early line. Is that where he is?
Jeez. I think he is. Man. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean. Oh, yeah, call Rick. I mean, he sounds great these days. Look, the but honestly, I'm saying, because not like the timeline over there is going to work out pretty good for the early line. The early line, obviously, it's tough waking people up there, but they're all, it's the middle of the day over there. They're having like lunch.
Yeah, the last person to tee off on Thursday, and this is all Eastern time zone, looks like the threesome is Long, Penge, and Han. That's 11:16. Once again, that's the last pairing. The first pairing, as Kevin said, is 1:35 a.m., and they scroll all throughout the night. It is the, it'd be funny if it's like, hey, by the way, we love golf, but it's all played in England. It's like, man, they're tough times all the time. But it's nice, like, one time a year that you get these type of, like, hours where it's like, hey, man, typically on a Sunday, if you really like golf, it's like football, right? Hey, you're sitting on your couch mid-afternoon. The night game's pretty I got to go to bed. But this tournament's over by like 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, maybe even a little bit earlier than that. It's awesome.
Is part of the reason, Donnie, that the first tee time and the last tee time is we don't do shotgun starts here at the Open Championship?
Yeah, there's like, I don't see any asterisks there. Which I got to tell you, it shouldn't really make a difference, but when you're betting and tracking, like you just want the ease of just looking at something. And when you see the asterisk, he 10 with an asterisk. Was that his first hole? Was that the 10th? It always gets on my nerves, even though you should know what it is. I can't stand those type of starts where you go from 1 and 10.
I actually agree. It's not a – though, like, Don, I mean, 10 hours here to get everybody out on the course is a ton. Like, I understand why we don't have the time for that.
How many do they have all the way through? So is it, because what is it? Yeah, it's true. It is 10 hours around at that point here.
But that's a lot. Like, when's that last group? Like, how do they stagger tickets there? Like, you get one ticket and you're there the whole day?
Yes.
My goodness, man. Come on.
Yes, that's why they sell.
16 hours of golf.
Yep. You get a ticket for Thursday. You get a ticket for Friday, a ticket for Saturday, or a ticket for Sunday. Of course, obviously, you can buy the four-game pairing, but if you just wanted one, it's not like, hey, by the way, you're in there like a water park, right? Hey, you got 3 hours in there. Hey, you, green wristband, get out of here. Your time's up. You got to leave the golf course, right?
What are you doing still in here, man? Here's the bricks hanging out. You've been hanging out
by the way, I'm telling you, yeah, every kid has been to a water park here. We all know that, right? Like, okay, I get the wristband from 1 to 3. It's like 3:15. Like, hide that. We got to get down here a couple more times. Tremendous. Mm-hmm. Were you a big water park guy as a kid?
No.
But they have water parks in Queens.
No, that's the thing. It's a whole thing. It's a lot of travel. But water park is for me the top of the amusement parks. I feel safe at a water park compared to roller coasters.
Yeah, it's nice. By the way, you are in the vicinity of a very nice roller coaster place, Six Flags Great Adventure. I mean, thoughts on you heading over there, or have you?
No.
Why?
I don't want to.
I think you are within 15, 20 minutes of it, I want to say, almost.
I'll look on the phone.
What is it?
This is really just a trap so you can track me down. Let's take a look. I'm surprised you haven't found it though. You know what I mean?
I haven't looked hard enough.
Yeah, that's true. 26 minutes if I left right
look
now.
At that. Should coasters. I get out of here? You got King Dakar. I mean, you do have like 3 straight weeks off coming up here this week, and then I think another 3 straight weeks off after that, apparently.
yeah. That did get sorted out, by the way. So,
you want to break any news on the air?
We'll handle it otherwise. Logic, I imagine someone actually called you and Logic stepped in. I think for all the shots I might take at you and me, I'd take a whole lot more probably in secret mentally. But you are you do have a good grasp of logic, I will say that, Mr. Wrightside.
Ah. There you go. All right, now back to the Open here. Did you decide yet? Since you're not going to be on with us tomorrow, we're not going to get your plays live on the air.
Yeah.
We can't talk about it on the radio as it's popping off. Did you make up your mind on who you've decided on?
I have not made a final decision, and I'm going – yesterday – I don't know why I'm stressing out about this to the degree that I am. I think it's because I really, like, want to bet – Scheffler, and I just like it's like am I going to really do this again? Like, am I going to bet Scotty at every major? Is that now going to be?
Well, why don't you throw some? Have you been throwing darts on a couple players, or just you focus on one guy and that's it?
So what I've done is only one guy per week outright. Other than the last time we had a major, where I used the 300 odd surge from DK, and I used the insurance from FanDuel. So I would probably still bet a second guy, right? I mean, because I can get Scotty up to 10 to 1. Is it max 25 or max 50 this week? Is it, you already did it. Let me just.
I think it's. Is it more than that? What's the one that I had there? Because you know what's funny about that? I put my bets in and didn't even see the major insurance thing. But it says a max reward in refund of $100. So does that mean you could bet 100?
On where's that now? Where's that?
I'm looking at FanDuel. It says place a pre-tournament straight winner wager on the Open Championship. But if your bet loses, your golfer finishes top 20, you can get a refund bonus of a max of $100, which I assume means that's what you bet, right?
Yeah. Where's my amount that I'd get back, though?
I don't see where it says it.
I've learned.
Oh, max. I don't know. I'm assuming it's $100 from what I'm reading this.
Yeah, no, but the one thing that I learned on it, I'm not even trying to be funny, is for some reason you get higher limits than I do, and I don't know why. But that's like a real thing I've noticed. Like
I don't know.
Like
is it betting volume?
Remember that Super Bowl thing? Where
I got $200.
Yeah, and I got like $20. It felt like with the Niners bet that I made here. Let me see this. Let me see what my max reward $25. That's crazy, man. Yeah, so I'll end up doing. But see, they really ruined this now. Is my odds that 300 odd surge is now just $25, and I've been going 50s for my outright. So I won't get Scotty at a full. If I bet Scotty at a full 10 to 1, it would be $25 at 10 to 1, and another $25 at like 7 to 1.
That's interesting. That's kind of funny.
But I'll probably
this one is 100.
Two guys, honestly. That'll probably be the max. But that's the thing. Like, I don't know. It's just more so down to the fact of, like, what's the angle on Scheffler? He's knocking on the door, and he's going to win one of these, and I'll feel like a buffoon if he doesn't? Or is it, look, at the end of the day, like, the guy is going to finish top 5, but you know he's not going to win the tournament.
That's what it feels like. That's just what it feels like to me, especially with a link-style tournament. Like, he's a very good player, and he should be in it, but at the same time, I just don't. And again, he's the favorite, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take Rory. I think it makes more sense at this point here. But I used the odds surge on Rory to get him up to 950. Yeah. Also have Cam Smith at 18 to 1 and Dustin Johnson at 33 to 1. Now, granted, thing I like about this, too, is, like, when you're taking straight wagers, or even if you're betting like RBI props, right? 200, 300, but I don't bet that much on those. Like, these are just where just say, hey, you know, I want to have fun. $10 a piece, which is as low as I go. But like, if you hit Dustin Johnson, like, the payback's $340. Cam Smith, the payback's 190. Rory's 105 on $10 wagers. Yeah. But here's what I did too, Kevin. When you go on DraftKings, they do have, if you make a deposit, like, certain up to a certain amount, they'll give you like a credit, but in free bets. Which I thought was usually, because usually, how many times do I see this? And again, I'm not saying, oh, it's not worth my time, which I technically am saying. Like, hey, Donnie, BetMGM, though, you know, I'm going to get your free $5 bet. I'm like, what? For what reason, man? So I bet $5 on a straight wager. You don't even give me the $5 back. You just give me the profit of it, which is like $3. I'm like, that's not even worth it. But I went on long shots, 80 to 135 to 130 to 1, 22 to 1, and 18 to 1 with $2.50, which they gave me 5 bonus bets to do. But like Matsuyama, if he wins on a $2 bet, $200 I get back. Like Morikawa, if he wins, a $2 bet, $87 back. Spieth, if he wins, $75 back. Hovland, $55, and Koepka, $45. I'm like, you know what? This is one of those where, like, honestly, like, you can think about that though, Kevin. Let's just go 2, 4, 6, 8. You have $10 total in your bankroll. You spray it on 5 guys. And the lowest amount you'd win back is $45, which means that you would have still profited 20 on your initial stake. And you can have so much fun with that.
It's very easy to see why golf betting is as popular as
it is.
Yeah. Because on the other end of it, Donnie, if you have a ton of conviction, you bet 2 guys at the top. Let's say you say, look, man, I'm telling you right now, it's Rory or it's Scott. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now. You go $100 on each guy. Whoa. That's huge.
That's a nice pay. That's like my UConn payout. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about there. Like, you're getting legitimately, big pass. And that's like the top end guys, right? Like, you don't got to, like you said, Cam Smith is the next kind of guy you have there. You're talking over $1,000.
Yes. Like, if you got $100 at Cam Smith, you're like $1,800, which is so funny to me. Like, how? Like, my getaway in my bank account, which is crazy, the account is nice. It's going to be there for football. is UConn 25-1, K-Dub, FanDuel?
Wow!
Wow! They were 25-1! Oh, that was such a nice smash box. Such a nice win here. It's Tuesday afternoon. It's Moneyline. You know the drill. We'll be right back after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here, having fun in hour number one, as we usually do all week long today. No surprise, it's Tuesday. 844-843-6879. Get your phone calls in. Sirius XM channel 159. How about this, Kevin? Report. You ready for this one? The Patriots were willing to match the Titans' max total $15 million offer for DeAndre Hopkins per Albert Breer. And it says the issue came down to structure, as the Pats' offer came with far higher percentage of that total tied to incentives here. So basically, the Titans said, okay, easier to reach your incentives. And the Patriots probably went, well, DeAndre Hopkins, you got to lead the league in catches, yards, touchdowns, MVP, and win the Super Bowl, and you can reach all of those. Would you like to join us?
I will say, like, we've been talking about this stuff quite a bit. Like, it's a little funny to me, Donnie, but why would they have the incentives? Like, it's not the same thing. Like, why did the Pats come on? That's the Pats leaked that report to Albert Breer. Now, like, isn't Breer always tied into New England? Like, how does that make it better? Hey, we matched the offer, except no, we didn't really.
It's pretty astounding. Like, and also from a perspective, let's get into the incentives, right? Does that actually motivate the great players? Like, think about this, though. And the reason I bring it up is because it's a team game, Kevin. It's not like, hey, you know what? I'm going to pay my golfer based on how many birdies he gets. Like, let's just say Nike. Like, hey, it's on you. You want to go out and do birdies and ruin yourself. But like DeAndre Hopkins goes, okay, I got $8 million in base, and I got another $7 million in incentives I got to get to. And by like week three, you have 25 catches. You're well behind your pace. You just start getting like angry in the locker room. Like this, like I'm not even happy being here right now. You see what I mean by that? Because I know everybody has them and they're tied to it, but I almost find the point that it almost is self-like defeating at times where it's, if you put incentives, again, like if you said, Kevin, you can make 14 base, you can make $15 million. And if you get 100 catches, you get the $15 million. Okay, that would make sense. But it sounds like, hey, I want to join the Patriots for $15 million. Well, only eight's guaranteed, and you got to do all this other gymnastics to get to that top level. I never really understood that.
Yeah, but I also don't understand, like, do incentives count against the cap, Donnie?
Only if they're achieved.
But my thing is, do you have to leave room for them? Because, like, can you go over the, you can't go over the cap, right? Like, I don't know,
hear me out on that stuff. Because I know where you're saying this, but keep it, I'm going to give you a Howie Roseman thing, which the NFL caught on to. And I still think it's legal technically now, but maybe a little bit tougher on the language. Do you know what he would do, Kevin? He would sign the long snapper when they had cap room. And let's just say it's Lovato, whoever it was the past couple years. I don't even know who it is now technically.
Dornbos.
Let's just say he gets exactly. Well, we'll use Dornbos, right? And say, okay, well, what's the guy usually making? $2 million a year, and you know it's a valuable position. Yeah. And they would write in incentives. If he leads the league in receptions, it's another $8 million. And you'd laugh and go, well, what does that even mean? He doesn't even run routes. Yeah. But you can fold that extra cap space into the next year if it's not achieved. And that's what like teams were doing, like finding loopholes that are so ridiculous where you would never achieve that, but you can fold that into next year's cap. There is a limit to what you can actually, because you're right, Kevin. You can't go, hey, everybody's going to make a dollar, and if we win 10 games, you all make $100 million. Like, oh, hold on now. In the season, we just won 11 games. We like that's illegal. Like you're gonna have to forfeit every game because you're $100 million over the cap.
Right.
I know I'm taking it to the extreme, but there is a percentage there that the reason they included is some of those are far fetched. And I joked about it, right? Like Hopkins MVP leads the league in every category, and they win the Super Bowl, and you get all your incentives. Well, if he doesn't reach 4 million of those, you can fold that into the next year's free money.
All right, okay, I get it then. I was going to say, you just throw the world's easiest incentives at the guy if he doesn't catch it. You know what I mean? Hopkins must one, you know, run a route type of thing.
Must be on the roster by November, you know. Some ridiculous stuff, easy stuff.
Yeah, exactly. All right. fair enough. But that's, again, like, I don't know, I find that to be a funny New England report of, hey, man, we matched the offer, except we didn't match the offer.
Yeah,
like, that's,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just a ridiculous
report. Yeah, we're willing
report.
To, hey, by the way, I'm going to come back to you this offer. We're willing to match it. Yeah, there's the $15 million. Hold on now. This doesn't have to throw 10 touchdown passes to make them $1 million. You know what I mean? Like, who knows what they were writing in there? Yeah,
exactly.
We matched it. Of course they did.
I need 12 touchdowns here. Mac Jones threw 11 last season. Mm-hmm. I'm not even understanding the idea. What is New England doing, though? Like, this is the part, again, we hit this a little bit the other day, but the Titans are in a somewhat, I don't want to say pressure-free environment, but I would say Vrabel, I don't think, is on the hot seat regardless of what happens with Tennessee. Maybe that's a naive take of mine. I feel like they get a year to truly hit the reset button, which they've just not hit yet in Tennessee. The notion is Bill's on the hot seat. He had two unbelievable chances land on his lap in terms of Dalvin Cook and DeAndre Hopkins hitting the market. They were the front runner for Hopkins forever, lost it. And the longer we wait on Dalvin Cook, the more convinced I'm going to be they're going to lose that as well.
Yeah, and also, Kevin, Mac Jones, and forget about the player you think he is and how many weapons he needs. Isn't the MO across the NFL, hey, man, you got a rookie contract for a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you spend all over the place. And when you have to sign your quarterback, it's actually a good thing. Like, oh, man, we burned that up. You think the Eagles, and you talked like Jeffrey Lurie before Jalen Hurts even opened up his mouth or anybody even said he needed a new contract. He basically goes, that's our guy. We're not even worried about it at this point, right? Because, oh, what a terrible option. Like, Cincinnati has to pay Joe Burrow. What? Like, you got one of the best quarterbacks in football probably for the next decade. You should be happy you got him and happy to pay. But at the same time, you have that guy. I know he's a superstar making like $2 million a year against the cap. That's when you have to strike. Like, I'll say, and also, if Bill Belichick really thinks, like, you know what, I don't know how much longer I have. You only play hardball with DeAndre Hopkins, who actually might be able to help us win a football game, which might be the difference in me keeping my job and making the playoffs. Sometimes I never understand that.
Yeah, I don't want to go the other direction of like, he was never considering New England. I don't think that's the case at all. He was, you know, ready to go to the Patriots. The Patriots could have had him under contract so long ago, and they really messed around, and it's the end result is not going to be great for the Pats. And if you're Mac Jones, I got to say, we never would talk about this in terms of Mac Jones, and I understand why. But don't you feel like Mac Jones has been screwed a little bit by the New England Patriots? Like,
yes.
He's not a guy that a lot of people are going to feel sorry for because not that many people think he's great and he doesn't come off as the most likable with some of the things we've seen for Mac Jones. But they gave this guy Matt Patricia as an offensive coordinator and then had Hopkins in the building and essentially just let him walk out of the building. It's crazy.
Yeah, look, it made too much sense. I'm coming from this preference where you sort of get the once over on the teams. Like, yeah, you know what they're doing at the draft. Like, you know how they ended the last season, and you sort of take that into this year. But, I look at the Patriots roster, and if they weren't in the division they're in, there'd be a lot more juice by going, like, hey, what can they do this year? Again, not to say they can win at all, but just be a competitive team that has a chance to get double-digit wins. I still look at them. And, quite frankly, if they got DeAndre Hopkins, you know what? This is an actually interesting team. If you do get good quarterback play, you have weapons where you can come out of the Stone Age on offense, and Bill Belichick might not be like, you know what? In order to win this football game, we can't throw the football at all and hope the other team makes all the mistakes. Maybe you actually have an offensive game plan where you tell your own quarterback. I still go back to that night. One of the greatest nights ever where entire Twitterverse was wrong but us, even though the Patriots won that game. Man, Bill Belichick's a genius. And all we said was, no, he's a dummy. That means he knows he doesn't have a quarterback that can actually, you're reading that wrong, man. That was the greatest game plan in the history of football not to run it. What, to hope the other team doesn't, you know, advance the football enough to get field goals and touchdowns? And you saw that play out, Kevin, a couple weeks later in the playoffs where the Buffalo Bills beat the brakes off them when it wasn't 90-mile-an-hour winds. Yes.
Demolished. Completely non-competitive from the word go. I think that wasn't that like the perfect Allen game. Like, he just I think he had like a perfect passer rating or QBR, one of the two, like in the game. Like, I mean, it was just not like they didn't punt like at all until they had taken the starters out. I mean, the whole thing was just completely nuts. And that's the part of this though that does confuse me. It's like he being Bill Belichick, believe in Mac Jones, and yet, like, Mac is still. But Mac made the playoffs in his first year. Like, and he drafted Mac Jones. Like, why does he dislike Mac Jones as much as he does?
I don't know. Like, and it figures like that's the one guy, too, where Nick Saban is like his best friend in life, it feels like now. Since, you know, Bill Belichick is getting older at this point, and, you know, Bill Parcells, they're buddies, but still in, like, the game, right? You want to engage with another top mind. It's always Saban. Let me make a phone call down there. We'll talk shop here. But this, Saban had to sell Mac Jones on him. Like, he didn't just draft Mac Jones like, oh, I think he's going to be good. Like, he had inside information, and it felt like when he got him, it's like, oh, this is really his arm? You know what I mean? Like, when he first practice of the year, it's like, well, he can't throw? I don't know. It's just, I don't think it's going to be long-term there with Mac Jones, and I don't know if they're treating it that way or trying to clear it up, but it doesn't make any sense. If you were looking this year to make a push with DeAndre Hopkins out there, all it was, Kevin, was about money. It wasn't like, hey, man, I have 17 offers that are all the same. I'm just going to go to the right spot. It was basically two teams with not great offenses, and Bill Belichick couldn't swing them over by going, what is it going to take you? Look, just match this offer completely, and I'll probably be there. Well, I can't do that. It's like, okay, well, I'm gone.
Yeah, the whole Saban thing is bizarre, though, too, because you would think it's like, oh, yeah, Saban's definitely the one that put the word in to Mac Jones, but also did he put the word into Bill O'Brien? And I mean, wasn't this kind of by Alabama standards like a very unsuccessful season at Alabama with Bill O'Brien? Like I don't even know if Saban is the one that gave him the idea to do all these things.
Yeah, who knows? But I guess friends close to him. Could it be Bill Belichick? Or excuse me, Bill Belichick's best friend Nick Saban handing that over to the public? Hey, by the way, man, having talks with him. I'm telling him, this might not be your thing. And then wouldn't you love it, like what Nick Saban does? Takes coaches from the NFL. Hey, why don't you come down here, Bill? Coach a little defense here for the Crimson Tide at that point.
Like, I mean,
if Bill Belichick left the Patriots, what would he do? Would he go coach? Would he like put him like, hey, you know what? Now's the time. I'm going to coach Army or Navy. Like, it seems like he would actually do that.
I feel like, I feel like Bill Belichick is, at this point, has a very real chance to coach somewhere that's not New England.
Man.
I feel like that it's totally on the board, DRS. Do you think it's more likely he retires or coaches somewhere else next season?
I think he's just a football lifer at that point.
Yeah.
Like, because I think, like, he might even be able to put out the word, like, look, I need to take 1 year off, go fishing, spend time with my family, and, like you know, re-energize. But it doesn't seem like that type of guy. Like, it feels like if he's let go, like, the day after the season, another team is going to come with just a blank check. Like, a Mayan, like, if let's just say it doesn't work out with the Dolphins, or it doesn't work out, like, the Dallas Cowboys, even though he probably would never go to Dallas with Jerry Jones running the show, would break his brain, where it's like, hold on now. You just said Tony Pollard's going to get the ball 25 times this week. I haven't even put in the game plan yet. What are you talking about? And Jerry's like, just bluster there to the radio audience. Like, no, but somebody, like, nobody's going to be like, hey, that's great, Bill Belichick, right off in the sunset. No. Like, somebody is going to go out there and just open checkbook that guy.
I don't think he is still, to me, one of the – he is an above-average coach in this league. I don't think he's the best coach anymore, and I think he still would be plenty successful, you know, somewhere else that's not New England. And maybe what really needs to change for this guy is just being in charge of – seemingly everything, right? Because that's the area where things are losing for him, right? Is losing out on this Hopkins deal. Like, he's the one that's making that deal. Come on now.
I think he's the guy that controls everything there, and he just wanted to be like, we really don't want him. We'll just show him that we want it, and second place is good enough. Terrible by the Patriots to let him get to the Titans. We'll be right back, one quick segment before we hit hour number two right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment here before we hit hour number two. SiriusXM Channel 159 Sports Grid Network. Moneyline, Kevin and Donnie. This is where we find out where JP is going with his action tonight. And I assume, JP, it's on the diamond.
You are correct in your assumption.
All right. Correct in my assumption here. So let's go over. Games starting. Now, this is good. Because you got some 705, 707, 710s, 720s, even 745s. Games starting after 8 o'clock or before?
Before 8 o'clock.
There we go. So the 7 o'clock hour it is. All right. Miami, Philadelphia.
Good.
I feel good about this one.
Down.
I do feel good about this one. Now, total, side, prop. What have we decided here?
I'm going to another total.
All right, so we're going to a total tonight. Philadelphia, NOLA, Tehran. He is a total guy. I like that. Respect it. Yeah, I stop right at Grove Wells. I mean, that's your boy, K-Dub. I mean, but I think we're getting some scorching hot takes down there. Some rockets lifting off.
It is ironic that he did just get his first win. I really thought, like, and their pitching just hasn't been good at all this season. And I didn't think it was going to be some earth-shattering idea. But
yeah,
because, of course, if you bet a pitcher to get a win as opposed to the team's money line, you introduce a way different outlook there. And you look right now, 10 for Kershaw, 7 for Urias. There's a couple of other out there, but there's way more starts than wins, at, you know, overall for this team. I don't know. It's interesting to see.
Yeah, I think I know where I'm going in this one. But by the way, I can't ever get my eyes off of Cincinnati Reds totals anymore. Like Kevin, they're priced like Colorado every day at home, regardless of pitcher.
Yeah,
it's 11 at most outlets here.
Yeah.
11 in Cincinnati.
Yeah. It's a little too inflated then at that point, no?
It's very inflated. But hour number two, hot takes, much, much more, including your phone calls, 844-843-6879. It's Donnie and Kevin. It's Sports Grid. It's Sirius XM Channel 159. You know what we got coming up next after this break? Women's World Cup. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.